Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Please consider supporting Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. You can learn more about them at bwunited.ca. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. So please, again, support Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. Again, that website is bwunited.ca.
Hey, this is Trevor from Halifax calling in to say that I support Creative Control on Patreon because I think long-form arts journalism is a crucial part of music culture and there's simply not enough of it out there today. Vish is a master interviewer, he lands great guests, and he has his finger on the pulse of the ever-changing music landscape both here in Canada and abroad. For all of these reasons and many more, I think you should support Creative Control on Patreon too.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today. I am Visha's wife, and I will love him no matter what you do. And now he has me on the record saying that.
Nicole Rampersad and Sandro Perry are each talented and inventive musicians who first encountered each other thanks to the immersive and collaborative improvised and experimental music community in Toronto, Ontario. Currently based in New Brunswick, Rampersad is an esteemed trumpet player, composer, and improviser who performs both solo and with others, and she co-founded the online improvisation series Understory, which connects artists from across the geopolitical territory known as Canada. Now based in Prince Edward County in the eastern part of Ontario, Perry is a prolific songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, producer, and singer who tends to his musical expression under his own name and also under different projects, including Offworld. Friends for some time, Nicole and Sandro have collaborated on each other's latest albums, which were both released on November 3rd, 2023. Rampersad's album is a wondrous one called Saldage, which is out now via Ansible Editions, while the mesmerizing new Offworld album, 3, which may well be the final Offworld album, is available via Constellation Records. This dual and interconnected celebration called for a fun interview, and so Nicole and Sandro and I recently convened for a talk about things like weekday lunchtime barbecuing, whether or not they remember how they first met and collaborated together, swan songs and other bird activities, the role the natural world and field recordings play in their respective musical practices, surprising onlookers and listeners with the sounds that trumpets and guitars are capable of, whether or not a producer is also a songwriter, Nicole's interest in temporality and nostalgia, whether Offworld may continue, and an update on solo Sandro music, touring together, other future plans, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this donor-driven podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol. Man, that is the primary source of revenue for all of this work, and I'd like it to be a lot of revenue, but it's hard. Look, if you got the means and the time and the inclination, please support my work at Patreon so I can pay the bills and feed my family and pay my family and feed the bills. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, thank you for supporting the Creative Control podcast on Patreon. With additional support from Blackbird Music, a well-stocked record store with bricks and mortar locations in Calgary and Edmonton, Alberta, and a really wonderful website, blackbird.ca. Say you can't make it to any of their locations to ask for help from their friendly staff. Well, you just go to blackbird.ca and you type in what you want. Say you want the new Nicole Rampersad album or the new album by Offworld. Like I say, click, click, clackety, clack. You type it in there at blackbird.ca and you never know what you might get. They might be able to ship those records right to your house. So thanks again to Blackbird for their support of this show. Plus in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee, respectively, in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario. This is episode 817 of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Nicole Rampersad and Offworld's Sandro Perry, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hi, Nicole. How's it going?
Hi, Vish. Doing great, thanks.
Oh, that's great. Where in the world are you today?
I'm in Southampton, New Brunswick.
Oh, nice. How long have you been there?
5 years. Yeah.
I think of you as an Ontario person, though. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I was born and raised in Toronto, Scarborough, and lived there for most of my life, except for a few years where I lived in Boston. And yeah, about 5 years ago, my partner, who I think you know, Evan Shaw, and I moved out to here, Southampton.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great. And things are good in Southampton?
Yeah, they're great. It's a beautiful fall day here. And it's very peaceful here.
Nice.
Yeah.
People often go to Boston for schooling and whatnot. I know. Isn't the Berklee School of Music maybe in that area? What brought you to Boston?
It was school. So yes, yeah. Berklee is there. I went to the New England Conservatory of Music. I don't know why I always struggle with that. I did my master's there. So yeah.
New England's a hard word to say. It's a hard place to talk about. I don't know what I'm saying now.
It's
but
hard.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Two
it's just
hard words.
Yeah. New England. Yeah, it's really, they're not really even that plan. I don't like things that are new and I don't really love England. So it's actually fine. I'm not a fan of the imperialism. Anyway, it's nice to have
Old
you on
England.
The show. Old England, yeah.
That's, old like, England.
Yeah, yeah, Old England I'm less of a fan of. Anyway, it's really nice to have you on the show, and thank you for being here. Also on the call, Sandra Perry. Sandra, how are you?
Hi, Vish. I'm doing good. It's good to see both of you.
Nice. Where in the world are you?
Yeah. I'm at home in Demarestville, Ontario, which is in the island, the county of Prince Edward, some prince named Edward.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Also
yes.
Also part of old England, presumably.
Presumably. Yes, that's right. You've been there a few years. We've talked about this on the show in your previous appearances. Things are going well.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, it's also a nice fall day here today. I was barbecuing, so it wasn't so cold. Yeah, it's very peaceful out here.
I like the fact that you were barbecuing already. As we're speaking, it's kind of midday. Barbecuing tends to be an evening activity for most civilized human beings. But every once in a while, if you work from home or whatnot, I did it in the summer. It was really fun. I'd say to my wife, what do you want for lunch? You know what? I'm going to go barbecue something. It's fun. Barbecue. It's liberating. Is it? Don't you feel? Isn't it the most free you've ever felt barbecuing during the day?
It really is. It's strange. It is strange. But it somehow seems like it's much faster. Like lunch gets made much faster. I'm not sure if that's actually true, but it feels like it's faster. You feel like you're somehow more, I don't know if control is the right word, but you're affecting the cooking of the food more somehow, but by the way you flip it and the way you place it on the grill. This is all probably just in my head, but it has an effect, and it is a real joy to barbecue. And I'm late to the game. Like, I only started barbecuing recently, just this year, actually.
I always forget that you've set up your home kitchen with a bunch of gizmos and devices that do all the cooking for you. Just robot arms flipping pancakes and like, it's just there's a timer and everything just starts. Yeah, I always forget. It's amazing.
I live in pure luxury. I don't do anything, but with barbecuing, I can find these skills again, these human skills, and it is amazing.
I was alluding there to, I think, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Have you guys seen that film?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah,
we watched it for family movie night recently, and I'd forgotten that he had this, like the Back to the Future kitchen.
Yeah.
Actually, Doc Brown
it's
had
the future.
It. Yeah, exactly. They set it up, and machines are making the coffee, and that's what you have, Sandra. So I'm glad you got outside to the barbecue and got your hands dirty.
Yeah, I've really gotten back to a primitive state. It's amazing.
Well, again, it's very nice to have you both on the show for both
Thanks
your
for having us.
Oh, no problem. Both your respective projects and your collaborative projects. Nicole, can we talk a little bit about this relationship you have with Sandra? How did you come to know Sandra?
Well, it's through the Toronto scene. I'm trying to remember the first time we played, but I'd been aware of Sandra's work for many years prior to us collaborating, and I've always been a big fan and admirer. So,
And Nicole, just because I know people might be wondering, and I've tried to contextualize this in the introduction of the show, what is your primary instrument?
So I'm a trumpet player. That was my first instrument, still my main instrument to this day, and yeah, I've had the fortune of collaborating with a bunch of people with my instrument.
Yeah, yeah. So you would collaborate with Sandro how often in the last... Sorry, did you put a time on that? Like, when did you first... Are we talking like sort of early 2000s? When did you kind of first encounter Sandro's name?
I was definitely aware of Sandro's name in early 2000s. I think we probably first played together, would you say early 2010s? Sandro, I'm trying to think. Yeah,
that's
go back
tough.
In the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, that is totally the Wayback Machine. I actually remember the first time we met, but I don't remember the first time we played together.
Huh. Yeah. Did you guys not have this on your calendar that we were going to have this conversation? You not ponder something?
No.
What did you think I was going to ask you about? Yeah. Maybe this might come up. Maybe he'll ask how we know each other. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Seems normal.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. Sorry. In the early.
Yeah. No. No. You got us.
Well, actually.
You got us.
Maybe this will.
Yeah.
This is what happens. I'm going to help jumpstart some memories here. Sandra, you say you remember your first encounter with Nicole, if not your first collaboration.
I do.
Let's talk about that encounter. What do you remember?
I remember it well. I'm pretty sure I remember it well Next thing I say, I'm pretty sure it was, I'm pretty sure, I think it was a Eucalyptus gig. Because,
oh, yeah.
Right? Like, Nicole, you were playing with Eucalyptus as like, kind of from the beginning, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a Transact Main Hall gig. And, it was Grubba-Dub. It was Grubba-Dub because we were eating.
That's right.
Listen, I got to interject here. We're dropping names here. People are listening. They're like, Eucalyptus. Okay. What are they met?
Yeah, that's very
deep. By a plant? What does that mean? And now you're saying, what is that, a buffet? What is Grubba-Dub? Can you please?
It kind of was a buffet.
Okay. We need to explain this for the poor people who are like, what the hell are these people talking about? Sandro, first of all, what is Eucalyptus?
Eucalyptus is the band led by Brody West. It's a 8, 9, 10-piece band. I think it expands and contracts. But I think it wasn't Eucalyptus, because if it was Grubba-Dub, it would have been the dub, whatever the name of the band was that Ryan put together for the Grubba-Dub experience, which was a live band playing covers of reggae songs. Mostly reggae songs, maybe playing reggae covers of songs that were originally reggae and not reggae. And then that was the dub part. And then the grub part was a dinner cooked by Sam Higgs, the chef. And he cooked it in the back of the Transact, the kitchen there behind the bar. And he served these wonderful, beautiful, delicious meals, 3-4 courses, something like that, 5 courses, 6 courses. And there was this band playing tunes, reggae tunes. And the reason I was there is I was asked to be the, I don't know what the official term was. Maybe it was dub master or dub mister or dub dude. I'm not sure what it was, but I was on the board to kind of live dubbing out the band. And Nicole would have been the trumpet player.
So wait a minute. Have we maybe struck upon the first?
I think so. I think that was it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So we did play together, even though I wasn't on stage. We were playing together. And that's funny because that's actually kind of what's happened with your record. I sort of was like doing a little bit of dub stuff. But anyways, we'll probably get to that later. So we met and I just remember... You were very sweet, and we had a really nice conversation, and I was like, oh, wow, she's such a nice person. What a great night this was. And I loved your playing from the start. I also knew your playing before that. And I thought, oh, it would be nice if we could play together someday. And I have no idea when the next time was that we played together. It could have been years later, 2015 maybe.
That sounds about right.
So we're here in an auspicious manner because we're talking about Nicole, your new solo record, and Sandro, I was sad to read that this might be the final off-world record. Is that, first of all, let's get that out of the way. Is that true?
It sounds good to say that.
Okay, so it lies. So we're not exactly sure if this is the truth or not. Is that what you're saying?
People say things like that all the time. You know, and it often turns out to not be true, but it's kind of a nice idea. Like, I don't think of it as a negative idea. I think of it as kind of encapsulates something that you're doing in a special bubble, in an extra special bubble, which we need these days. We all need special bubbles to encapsulate what we're doing in.
Special bubbles are nice. There's a sentence in the album bio that I just want to draw attention to. Yeah. Well into a decade of their existence, Offworld presents three, their poignant swan song, a planned conclusion to a trio of releases begun in 2016. So there's two things going on. A trilogy is wrapping up for certain.
Yeah, definitely.
But poignant swan song is what stuck out to me. That I think that normally means it's done. It's no more. So you're saying that's not necessarily the case?
Swan song. Well, all I can really say is that it sounds nice. to say. Just, it looks good. The words swan song also look really good.
Yes, that's
in
true.
Type.
I've been a bit obsessed with birds lately. I've had some bird incidents. Before, I don't want to enumerate them. People who have been listening know that my house has been repeatedly attacked by woodpeckers.
And Oh, yeah. I've heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
The latest thing, though, is every time I've left my house this week, whether to go walk my children to school or the other day, yesterday I went for a run. And in each instance I left the house, at some point a blue jay has flown across my path. And I don't know what it means. I feel like they're in cahoots with the woodpecker and they're monitoring me. And then when they see me, they're like, okay, they go tell the woodpecker to have at my house. Does that sound like I've lost my mind, Nicole?
No, it sounds totally believable because we have lots of birds around here too. Crows like to peck on our windows. Sometimes flickers will peck on our windows. So yeah, I get it. Yeah.
The other day, my wife installed a festive autumn wreath on the door, front door, and I heard a knocking. And I looked through the peephole. It's a magpie attacking the wreath.
Wow.
Wow.
I've got some bird issues. I don't mean to bring this up to you two, but we talked about a swan song, and all I can think of is, Sandra, are swans known for singing? Is that why you like it? That it's just, it evokes a beautiful sound in your head?
The words themselves, like swan and song, obviously two beautiful words, and then together, unbeatable. I have no idea if they sing. I'm going to have to look it up because I actually don't know the origin of that term. I just know the Led Zeppelin label.
Yes.
Right? It was called Swan
Song. Their imprint was called Swan Song.
Their imprint, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, weird bird tangent there. I didn't mean to take us there, but yeah.
No, I love bird tangents. We also have blue jays and crows here, and I didn't know, are those little birds that go for the bugs on the side of the house, are those the flickers? Is that what you're referring to, Nicole?
No, flickers are pretty, they're bigger. So we have those two that go after the bugs. They're either phoebes, and they have a really annoying song, big air quotes around song.
Right.
They just yell their name really annoyingly. So they're either phoebes or maybe kingbirds.
I see.
Okay.
I see. Yeah. You know, both of you tend to work in realms where the sounds you evoke or the sounds you capture seem to be of nature. Maybe I'm stretching this a little bit. Bear with me, but there's an ambient quality, perhaps a found sound quality, perhaps. I wonder, does the natural world, the animal kingdom, if I may, does that inspire you as musicians per se? Would you like? I feel like sometimes I have your respective music on, and it feels a little like I could be outside in the forest and some animal off in the distance or a bird is creating the sound because it doesn't sound quite like an instrument, but it is. I know it is. Nicole, are you drawn to, not emulate, but are you, maybe that not drawn to is the wrong term. Are you inspired by birds, moose, doggies? Like, are there any animals that inspire you in your practice?
So specific.
It's very specific.
Sharks? I don't know.
No, I didn't have my list prepared, but yes, I guess the short answer is yes, very much inspired by, I guess, nature sounds. You know, one of the things that my partner and I have sort of really embraced since moving out here is adopting a field recording practice.
Yeah.
So just going out in the woods and sitting and recording, and that's been great. And yeah, I also did this project for Nocturne Halifax a few years ago, which was composing pieces in response to humpback whale song, which was really interesting and neat to explore that. So yeah, I'd say very much inspired by nature found sounds. Yeah.
So if you capture such a sound on your recording machine or whatnot, or you're immersed in nature and you hear such a sound, how does that translate into taking what you heard and potentially trying to, I guess, reproduce it perhaps via your trumpet or your other kinds of recording manipulations, if you will? Is that something that occurs to you? Man, that sounded really cool. Can I make that happen somehow? Did that ever occur to you?
Maybe not that directly. I think I'm always inspired by timbre and texture. And so that's probably the things that I try to quote unquote translate, into the instrument or into the other things.
Okay. Yeah. Similar line of questioning for you, Sandro. Does anything that I was saying there resonate with you in terms of what Offworld in particular tends to create?
Yeah, I've never thought of it that way, but as soon as you said that, it did resonate, and it did trigger some little flickering activity in what remains of my brain cells. Well, so the thing that comes to mind for me with the animal kingdom and sounds of birds is the quality of communication, or the aspect of communication that's going on, or that we sort of assume is going on between birds. Let's say, you know, a pack of birds calling out to one another and communicating something. And, you know, music in a way, I guess instrumental music especially, in particular, is sort of operating on the same principle, that there's communication happening that's non-verbal or non-linguistic, or it's linguistic but non, what's the word, you can't pin down what the communication is saying, but you get a sense of some sort of communication. And whether that's because of the sound being broken up in phrases, there being variations in pitch that kind of give you some sense of an emotional color or experience, volume, intensity. You know, you might interpret volume and intensity as being like a blue jay. When a blue jay makes a sound, they sound really aggressive, yeah, right? They sound really kind of angry, weirdly. I don't know why.
Good Lord. Now
so
I'm getting
angry.
Scared of this blue jay that's been stalking me. I didn't really.
Well, they sound intense, but I mean, I don't know if they're any more. They are actually are kind of aggressive birds.
Why are you telling me this? I don't know why it's the. I don't know if it's the same one.
I'm just
one.
Reporting okay. the, right, the what I see in the animal kingdom. Yeah. I'm not trying to scare you. They're probably fine with humans. I think maybe they're sort of territorial though with other birds.
Okay.
So you know that's just one example, but I mean that's kind of what I. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is that there's some communication going on, and that's sort of enticing, you know? Even if you don't really know what is being said, it's enticing to hear beings communicate.
It's an interesting point you raise, and I think it's pretty germane to what I observe about each of your respective practices, in that I think you often use and employ implements that almost may have some, well, they have characteristics that people associate maybe with certain players. They have characteristic sounds. And yet, I think each of you will take a trumpet, a guitar, any other kind of instrument and stretch it, find things out about it by manipulating it in ways that some people may not associate with the trumpet or a guitar. First of all, Nicole, is what I'm saying a fair assessment of maybe how you approach how you play?
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair. My solo trumpet practice, you know, started off just acoustic, and it was about just pushing sort of what the instrument can do and what I can do with it. Yeah.
And maybe I wasn't clear enough, but I noticed you said pretty fair, so I don't feel like I got a good grade on what I just said. I aim for excellence.
C+. Yeah.
I aim for like an A+, you know? What I'm getting at is someone might think of a trumpet in a particular way, and over the decades that people have been playing with a trumpet, over time you'll go see a performer and they might take the mouthpiece out and just play that for a little while. And you're watching it, and if you've not seen that before, you might think, "Oh, that's a little odd." I think that's supposed to go in. Does someone tell the player that they broke it? Like it's broken. You know what I'm getting at there? So I think you're challenging whether you mean to or not. Again, I think people have been doing all sorts of things, just playing the buttons with no air. You know, all sorts. I've seen people do things with trumpets you wouldn't believe. It's really amazing. So what I'm saying is that impulse to not simply play what might be conventionally expected, I think it's within both of you, is what I'm getting at. I've already harassed Nicole with this question. I tried to clarify it. I hope I bumped up to at least a B+. Sandra, what do you make of what I'm saying?
Yeah, I
agree. That characterizes maybe your approach to communicating sounds is like, it's not necessarily the familiar sound that someone might be used to. I'm going to fuck with this stuff and it's going to sound different. Is that?
Yes and no. I would say that I never set out to fuck with the stuff for its own sake. It's just that fucking with the stuff is allowed, and it's just as valid as whatever the opposite of that is.
Fair enough.
I'm not sure there's a word for that yet.
It's unfucking with the stuff.
That'll work for now.
Maybe. Well, like I've got a couple electric guitars behind me here, and they're unplugged, and when I play them, they're both going to sound kind of the same. But if I fuck with their stuff and, you know, add some different things, and someone else play, I don't know, different people would also get different things out of those things, right? So I'm just saying the implements are the implements. I just feel like the player really brings it to life, and each of you do that. It was meant to be a compliment, and now I feel like I'm on the hot seat.
Yeah, no, not at all.
No.
I mean, and if you are, you can handle it. Because you're if anyone can handle the hot seat, it's you, Vish.
Well, I put myself in the hot seat, so I should be. I have like a callus on my butt. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry.
what I mean is, you have a grace to you that is admirable. When I've seen you get in the hot seat before, and you always slide right out, and there's barely a trail of smoke to be seen. So,
high praise, Sandro. It's always lovely to have you on the show. Thank you for your kind words and support. It does mean a lot. I guess what I'm trying to get at is, you both seem to have like-minded impulses, and it makes sense that you might unite in such a way. Let's get to modern times. We've talked a little bit about your history together, and I will say I'm glad we figured out some of your earliest connections, because I think those foundational meetings are essential to where you're at now, I would argue.
Yeah,
I'm not sure whose record is out first. Based on the information, I want to do this chronologically. I think the off-roll record is out November 3rd or something like that. Nicole, when is your record actually out?
Also November 3rd.
Oh my God, it's the same day.
Bingo.
I knew this was... Okay, which one's coming out? Is one of them coming out at like 12 and one of them coming out at like 12.02 a.m.?
Oh.
Do we know? I just want to do this in an orderly manner.
They're synced up.
Totally synced up. Okay.
An app was developed just so that they could come out exactly at the same moment.
Now, my knowledge of Offworld, though, is that it can be years in the making for a record to actually take shape. So, all right, I just need to do this in the proper... Sorry, guys, there are podcast laws, and you have to do everything in chronological order, or I'll get fined. Okay. I'll get fined if I don't do this properly.
Fair enough.
Imagine there were podcast laws. Those would be odd. Anyway, I assume...
There will be, probably, pretty soon.
Nicole... Yeah.
They're coming.
They are. Actually, that's true. I shouldn't be joking about that. My whole show might be shut down. We'll see what happens. Anyway, Nicole, when did you start working on this record you made with Sandro? And also, I must confess, I'm not familiar with the title, the pronunciation of the title, the word. I don't know if it's a real word. That's where my instincts are going. Like, maybe that's not a real... Sometimes I look at a word, I'm like, I'm so ignorant. I don't know what that word is. And then I'll ask someone about it. They're like, I made up that word. I'm like, oh, no. That's not fair. You can't do that. But
Vish, get ready, because it is one of the most beautiful words probably ever invented.
Invented. Okay, see, that might
well,
be...
Well,
sorry.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean that.
Okay, never mind. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I'll zip
back to my question. Nicole, what is the title of your album?
Yeah, so the title is Saudade. It's a Portuguese word, and there's no direct translation to English. The closest nostalgia, but there's sort of, it's like a, there's a melancholy tone to the nostalgia.
Saudade, am I saying that correct?
Yeah.
Saudage. Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't know the translation. Where did you come upon the word?
Well, I studied Portuguese when I did my undergrad, just sort of a random way of getting into it. Yeah. So I studied Portuguese for a year and yeah, I came across that word in my studies. And I've always, I don't know, I've always had an interest in words in other languages that don't have a direct translation to English. So yeah, so that's the title.
Okay. So when did you begin working on this record with Sandro exactly? And he described himself as, I don't know if he called himself the Dub Bub or I don't know what title he gave himself. The Dub Bub would be Dub Bub would be pretty good, I think, if that wasn't invoked earlier. Yeah. I don't understand what that means, and I hope you'll explain it. How did you begin working with Sandro on this record, and what did he do as the Dub Bub, if I may continue to refer to him?
I'd like to retract my statement about what my title in the record. I'd rather it gets wiped from the record and Nicole should determine
so listeners understand, sometimes a guest will say something like that and I have to parse out, do they want me to edit it out when I edit the thing?
Oh yeah.
Do you mean this can stay in, right? That this retraction will stay in? Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah. I would like people to know that I retracted it and that I feel that I didn't say the right thing. I think that's important.
I really appreciate that you are among the three of us, four of us here. How many are here? Three? And some fourth mystery person.
Three.
At least Sandro is abiding by the podcast laws. Thank you
for
being on the up and up. Man, oh man. I'm sorry, Nicole. Cool. How did this record begin and this collaboration with Sandro on it? How did it begin? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we can. So I had the idea for the record probably 4 years ago at this point. And I had always wanted to incorporate electronics into my solo trumpet practice. And then the pandemic hit, yada, yada. And I sort of used that as an opportunity to sort of delve into the world of electronics. And I think I reached out to Sandro around that time, just asking, would you be into helping me produce this album? And Sandro said yes. And I was like, yes, phew. And I'd say I probably started recording it in 2021 and recorded a bunch of pieces and sent the files off to Sandro, and Sandro kind of made my what felt like ramblings, I think, make sense.
I see.
Yeah.
So you recorded, by the way, you yada yada'd the pandemic, which I think that's actually the way most people are dealing, you know, the pandemic, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, that was kind of amusing to me. But my point is, so you recorded yourself and sent the things to Sandro to kind of make sense of, edit on some level?
Yeah. Okay. So edit it and make me sound good.
But what was your impulse to explore electronics in the realm of what you do? Do you know where that kind of came from?
I think for me it was always about sort of expanding a palette. So over the years of playing solo trumpet live, I've sort of developed this palette of sounds, you know, whether it's quote unquote traditional, non-traditional timbres, textures. And I actually tried to record, you know, an acoustic solo album many years ago, and I was not happy with it. And yeah, I guess over the years, I just always had this interest of, you know, how can I incorporate electronics in, as a way that expands the palette? And so that was definitely my approach.
So I see. So Sandra, you were sent trumpet sounds, ostensibly, different kinds of trumpet sounds. Mm-hmm. Is that daunting to receive files like that? To be like, what am I supposed to do with this? Or were you like, I got this, man, this is going to be so fun and easy. You will have no idea. What was it like for you to work on this?
That's a good question. It was all of those things, probably. Daunting in a good way, in that you never know what a new project is going to require of you. Exciting because it was Nicole and I knew it was going to be great and there was going to be a lot to sift through and listen to. And what was the other thing? Daunting. fun and then
easy. I think I said like simple.
Yeah. Easy, yeah. Never. I mean, I never think anything's going to be simple because I'll psych myself out, and then it'll, you know, of course, it'd be the hardest thing in the world to do. Yeah, I mean, I think this record might be sort of unprecedented for me in that I don't think I've worked on something in this manner before, like Nicole recording everything and then sending it to me to basically what I did was I kind of framed the pieces that she sent. So there was a little bit of editing. There was a touch of, I might have moved a couple things a couple inches forward or backward in time, or a couple seconds, I guess, in time. And then I did some processing, which is where the dub bub stuff comes in. But it's important to say that actually most of the processing Nicole had done already. So she sent tracks, which were the dry trumpet, and then the processing that she did, which was part of her compositional framework and approach and how she was thinking about the pieces. And I just, you know, maybe kind of made a couple minor decisions about how to put those in the picture. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I didn't produce it. It was really Nicole produced the record, and I was like an editor. It was more like a when someone writes a book, I think you send it to the editor, and the editor suggests, "Oh, make this paragraph shorter." Do you know? And then I mixed it, but you know, it was all there. It was all there. It's not like I had to do very much at all, you know. So it's really about her compositional ideas and her practice as a trumpet player and improviser and composer all kind of came together in one. And I just was happy to be there and to help her kind of bring it into the world.
I was just speaking with a musician who also works as a producer, and I was asking him about when it comes to a composition and a producer's role in it. Sometimes a producer can have as much to do with what we hear as the initial ideas, the melodies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And that can be a fun, I just hadn't really pondered it that much. I mean, I must have at some points in my life, cause I like to read about the history of records, and you'll often hear like, and then the producer suggested the bridge. And you're like, but that's like the most important part of that song, really. And yet they're not the song writer. So it's just interesting to hear you say you were the editor. You've added editor to the confusion for me. Like, so now I was like, the producer kind of helps with the arrangement. So aren't they really part of the songwriting process? And then the person I was interviewing was like, sometimes, but that's why we have our credits. And, you know, then it got into kind of, I don't want to make things awkward, guys. It got into like compensation and stuff. And I was like, oh, right. Like, you know, how do you accredit royalties? And it was gross.
Right.
But my point is, you've added now editor to it. So what are those distinctions, Sandro, if I may ask you this, for you, someone asks you to take part in a project and produce it. You end up producing it, which can mean, you know what? I think you could shorten that. Why don't you get rid of those lyrics? Is that not songwriting? And then if you're editing, isn't that songwriting? Do you know what I'm getting at?
It's a good question. I know what you're getting at. It's a beautiful mess, actually, that occurs when people start to work together. And all of these distinctions are really just, you know, the best we can do to describe what's happening. But they don't really nail down the origin of how creativity happens between people. It really just is a... It's a flow that occurs. I mean, in this case, you know, Nicole and I weren't in the same room together at all. Yeah. So it sort of had to be this way, you know. Yeah. Whereas producing a record, you're in a room with people, the energy is flowing back and forth, you're getting ideas, you're trying things, you're failing, you take a lunch break, you talk, you make some, you know, talk about, you tell some jokes, you show all these things, and it all feeds into the, you know, the social dynamic. It's like the social dynamic is as can be as much of a credit to the songwriting or the way an album turns out as the technical work that goes on in the studio and what happens in the writing of the piece. So it really is just a big mess, but it's, you know, it's a kind of the best, it's a beautiful mess to be a part of. Record making in general, I don't mean this particular record, because this record's not a mess at all. It's actually a it's a very coherent record, to me. And mess is maybe has a connotation, but I think of it as it's just you get lost in the process, mm-hmm. you know. And I actually did get lost several times in the process of helping Nicole's record come into the world, and it was a lovely experience. I really, really enjoyed it and had fun kind of trying to find my way through it and think of it as I don't know if narrative is the right word, but just kind of noticing how my body felt while I was listening to it, and when it was like, oh good, that piece feels like it's done right there. Just because of whatever it would do to me physically. And, you know, that's sometimes that's all you have to go by, is your instincts that are sort of these they're not even idea-based instincts. They're just sort of hunches. You just get a hunch about something, and that becomes a musical application. That becomes a decision. And so this was very much like that. Because it's not like I had Nicole didn't, you know, send me any charts or anything. I didn't have a sense of, oh, the composition ends here. So, you know, there was nothing like that. It was really being in the muck.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Thank you, Sandro. Nicole, what did you...
You can edit some of that if you need to, Vish.
So do I leave this part in where you asked me to edit?
Yeah, leave this part in.
I think I'm not... you're fine. That was good. That was a really nice and astute and emotional response to that.
Maybe you can edit it down to where I went, and then just jump to... You can edit this, Vish.
That's the part I usually take out. It's like, that's what I take time editing out. So you got me all backwards here. This is going to be one whole episode of you just going, Anyway, my point is, where was I going with this? Nicole, what did you make of what Sandro had sort of done with what you'd sent him? Do you have a sense memory of your reaction to that? And after that, was there a lot of like, I like this, I don't like this. You're stammering too much. You keep saying, can we take that out? Like, did you have any notes like that?
It was always yes, you know. Anytime Sandro sent something, it was and I was really amazed by that. Like Sandro said, I sent the files with just very minimal commentary. Like, just I don't think anything outside of here's the naming convention of the files, right? I did that deliberately because I did have a narrative in mind, an approach. I wanted it to be almost like a vignette sort of style or approach. And it was amazing. I think, Sandro, your first reply back to me was, yep, this is a lot of material, but I can see the sort of a vignette approach. And I was kind of blown away by that, you know, because that was neat. And so, yeah, there was never any, I don't like this so much. It was always, that's great, you know, more.
So it was, that's great. I mean, cool. You've given the album a title that's, and I know you said there's no exact translation, but it connotes nostalgia.
Yeah.
On some level in Portuguese. Is that right? Is that do I have that? Yeah. As a catch-all for this record, what does that mean in terms of your own, I guess, what you're trying to convey with some of the songs? Because I believe you mentioned the file names. From my understanding, the song titles themselves are of a certain significance for you. So I don't normally like to get into titles and whatnot, but sometimes it seems relevant. Can we talk about why naming the album as such was emotionally and intellectually important to you, and then whether or not what I'm picking up on is accurate about the song titles themselves being significant in some way? They're not just placeholders or whatnot. Can you speak to those things?
Yeah, I think conceptually this album kind of kicked off this ongoing exploration of time and how we experience time and remember time and moments, you know, in the past, and how, you know, things like intergenerational trauma or mental illness can impact, you know, memory and how we remember things. And I know, like for me personally, I ruminate a lot. Like, so I can get sort of stuck on, you know, a particular moment that's just really insignificant. But, you know, how ruminating can take one tiny moment and just blow it up into something all encompassing. And so that was sort of conceptually what I was exploring with the album. And so each piece is sort of a memory, I guess, or me trying to bring a memory to life, if you will.
Yeah. So not quite nostalgia, I think, has a connotation of a warmth in remembering a moment in time that you experienced. You're saying that the memories that you're either reflecting upon or even, I don't know if you can you conjure memories? I guess you kind of can. In a way, you can. The memories you're kind of drawing upon aren't necessarily all pleasant. Is that a way of putting it?
Yeah, or not pleasant, or maybe it's, in some cases, it's a longing for, you know, a longing to go back and either maybe not necessarily redo something, but maybe just a longing to have that moment again, but knowing that you won't, right?
So regret?
Yeah. Maybe? I don't know. I guess. I'm not good with the words.
Everyone I talk to who's sort of my vintage or maybe even a bit younger, I don't know. There's a lot of this going on. Looking back, I don't know if it's because time seems to have stalled. We don't seem to be... Sorry, I don't mean to get heavy. I do think we've been confronted with what our future together is going to look like. And I think it's just got everyone being like, I kind of want to nestle back into the parts of time that I actually enjoyed. Or like you say, yeah, I sometimes, I don't know. Sorry. I think all these things like Facebook, like where you're like, when it first started, you're like, most of it was like, oh yeah, there's my friend from high school that I never have thought about since. And all their friends, and then all the rest of my people from high school, I'll be friends with them. That seems to have kickstarted a weird relationship with those people from your past where you're like, where you would not have normally thought about them at all. And now you're like, oh, I think they were trying to ask me out. Or, I think they actually hated me. Sorry, this is my own neuroses coming to the fore. It's a weird temporal knot of affection for that time and wishing you could change things. About if I only knew then what I know now, I would have been a totally different person. Do you have a little bit of that, Nicole?
Yeah, maybe, I guess. Like, there could be an element to that. But yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe in some cases, yeah.
I think some songwriters and lyricists can attack these feelings with words. How do you feel like you do that in your practice exactly? Like, we've been talking a lot about where the songs might have come from, what might have inspired them. But I think for those listening, that context might not be as readily available on listening. Do you know what I'm getting at there? And if so,
yeah.
Do the pieces themselves with their names and whatnot, do you feel like for you, I know they must come from a very personal place, but do you think a listener would pick up on some of the things that you're trying to convey?
That's hard to say. I mean, you're right. Without lyrics, there's like, how do you attach that narrative? And I think if I were to get sort of technical, I guess, you know, things like form and harmony and melody, you know, can help evoke those things. But I don't know that I'm necessarily trying to do that. You know, I think it's, you know, these pieces come from that personal place. And I suppose the nice thing about not having lyrics is that it's open for however people want to receive it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think then for those of us who absorb text for meaning, the song titles are doing a lot of that heavy lifting here. I appreciate this. I want to move on to Offworld a little bit because I think Sandra's having a nap.
Yeah.
No.
Just listening? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm just enjoying. I'm enjoying what you guys are saying and ruminating myself on it.
So this is this final, super final Offworld album that we're talking about. Like, there will not be any more Offworld. We can all agree upon that. Nicole is on this record. Is that correct, Sandra?
That is correct.
Yeah.
So on the one of five tracks. Yeah.
Do you know which one off the top of your head?
Yes, Impulse Controller, it's called, and it's the first single.
Nice. So it seems natural that you would want to collaborate with Nicole, given your history. But have you worked with Nicole on a record before, beyond your live collaborations?
Yes. Nicole played the trumpet on Floriana, which is track number 2 on my last solo record, okay. Soft Landing.
Yeah.
And I think that's it so far. We've definitely played some gigs together. Like, Nicole, I remember at least 2, mm-hmm. maybe 3 gigs where you sat in with us and played the horn on a few songs. But there's definitely more to come in the future, more recordings, if I will be so lucky to be able to get Nicole to play the trumpet or the flugelhorn on some future stuff. But yeah, so this Offworld piece, this was back when I was working in Jeff McMurrick's studio, Synology. And I was working on just a bunch of things at once. And one day Nicole was in to record some trumpet on a record for Dana Sipos. And she hung out after the session and we recorded a couple, I think 2 takes of just playing freely to this one track that I was working on at the time, which is this track we're talking about, Impulse Controller.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 tracks and that was it. And then I that was in 2016, maybe 15, something like that. 17, I don't know. Yada yada. And then I just kind of quilted it into the track, and that's what we have now.
Now, Offworld is traditionally, it's not, sorry, Sandra, Offworld is not just you, but you're...
It's definitely not just me.
No.
Yeah.
It is many different collaborators on every release. Yeah. Consistency, I think, lies mostly with you, but are there other recurring instrumentalists in the Offworld universe?
I would say there's like Lorenz Peter and I, we started the project as a live thing, and then we made a few recordings, and then around the same time I made some recordings with these 3 musicians in London, Drew Brown, Susumu Mukai, and Mike Silver, and we did this 2-day session of recording at a studio in London. And then I took those and sort of started to cut them into tracks. And then Offworld sort of became like a space to put all these different collaborative recordings that I had been involved in. And, it just sort of grew into a very loosely defined thing, which, yeah, I guess the consistent element would be that I would be the one who would put them together and turn them into records. And on this new one, so yeah, Nicole is on one track. Martin Arnold plays guitar on one track. Jesse Zubot plays violin and viola on 2 pieces. And then there's also some Drew Brown and Susumu Mukai are on a couple of pieces. Those are, from the original sessions. Matthew Cooper from Alluvium did a little bit of stuff on one track. And then Andrew Zuckerman and I, one of the tracks is an excerpt from a longer live recording that we made together. So a lot of collaborators. Oh, I hope I didn't forget someone.
I don't think you did.
I don't think I did, but I apologize if I did. But Yeah, it's kind of, you know, just sort of a space to put these recordings that they don't necessarily start out as group recordings. There's a lot of studio work involved. Yeah. There's a lot of putting things that are unrelated together just as an experiment and to, you know, to see what happens. So it is kind of a fictional group in a way. Like, it's not like every song is a bunch of people in the studio doing things in real time. It's quite fragmented in a way, which is, you know, sort of the way a lot of things happen now, right?
Yeah, it seems...
weirdly.
It seems like a perfect fit for someone who might call themselves a dub bub. I feel like you have to get all the stuff and put it all together. You know, I have been mesmerized in particular by this song. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Is it Ludic Loop? Yeah. Ludic Loop?
Yeah, yeah, Ludic Loop. Yeah, Ludic Loop.
Can you talk a little bit? Sorry, that one in particular.
The title?
Well, we can get in the titles with you. You're a similar boat, I think, to what I was trying to, the boat I was trying to sail to Nicole. I don't know what this analogy means, but I was like, names, tell me about names. There's something to that. And then I didn't have a question. Do you guys hear that? Anyway, then this is a similar thing where I want to ask you about the significance of the names, because they seem both, you got to name stuff, right? You have to name your songs, but I think you're both operating in a realm where the names could say a lot about what we're about to hear when we press play, or they might just be like, oh yeah, the album art is due and I need to come up with something to call this piece of music, right? I don't know. Sorry, Nicole, is that incorrect? Is it false for me to say that the names might have total significance while others might be like, ah, I just named it that. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure. I definitely have compositions where they're like number 33.
Right.
After
Patrick Waugh. Or Larry
Bird.
That's
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. That's what those songs are about. Now, Sandro, let's talk about Ludic Loop. I don't know what it is. I can't, when that's on, I freeze and I'm in a loop. And people are like, Papa, my kids, hopefully mostly are the ones calling me Papa, what's going on? They like wave their hands in front of my eyes. Like, what happened? I'm like, no, I'm in the Ludic Loop. I can't, that's all I think about. Where did that song kind of come from, so to speak?
So that's Martin Arnold playing the guitar. And funny enough, Martin came into the studio and he played that guitar part over a completely different song.
Oh.
And I thought originally that's what was, you know, how it was going to end up. But it turned out that it kind of worked in this other piece, which is, you know, Ludic Loop, turned out to be Ludic Loop. And that other piece, the origin, is the original London sessions with the three musicians I mentioned in London. And it is just a section, a loop cut from that session with some synthesizer and piano overdubbed that I did when I was working at Six NASA, Jeff McMurrick's previous studio.
Yeah.
So it was like 2011, the loop was made, the bed recordings that the loop was taken from.
Yeah.
2011.
Yeah.
2014, maybe I put some synth and piano down. 2016, Martin came in and played guitar to a completely different song. 2022 or 2023, I moved Martin's guitar from that other song into this song, mixed it down, started thinking about the title, came across the title Ludic Loop. It refers to the state that you get in when you're at the slot machine and you're pulling that lever.
Huh.
And you know that it's not going to come to much. You know that you're not going to win, but you're obsessed with the act of pulling that lever, because it's not even on the off chance that you're going to win. It's like the anticipation or the imaginative space that you get into when you're pulling that lever, regardless of the outcome, you feel like you're in a sort of a pursuing something. And
that's true. When you see footage of people at those things, they're all almost, it's like they all end up synchronized. Like, whenever I think of those footages, like, everyone seems to be doing it at the same time. Like, they've, they've synced up as the robots. So, I've never.
You know, there's parallels too. It's not just slot machines, right? It's we're doing that all the time.
Yeah,
I just sort of resonated with me, and also just the fact that it is literally built on a loop. That just seemed like a good title. And anyways, Martin is blisteringly amazing on it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to work with Martin. He's one of my musical heroes, and I really wanted to do something with him. And he generously came in one afternoon and played some guitar, and there we have it.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, so I'm glad you like it.
No, I love it. Like I say, it hypnotizes me. Anytime it's been on, I'm glad I'm not driving. I feel like I would just be in a trance. You can't operate heavy machinery while listening to the Ludic Loop is what I'm trying to warn people right now.
We should
put a warning on it. Yeah.
We should put the sticker on.
It's very mesmerizing. Yeah. Hey, Nicole, you're starting to collaborate more with Sandro Perry. And I was watching your facial reactions as he described a piece starting in 2011, then 2014, then 2016, then maybe 2020, 2022. Are you scared working with someone who takes this long to get stuff done? Like that a song might exist for a dozen years before any of us hear it. Does that frighten or confuse you in any way, Nicole?
Maybe if I still lived in Toronto, it might have. But I don't know, living out in the there's maritime time, as I say, right? So things move a lot slower here, and I'm into it, I guess. Or maybe I've just grown accustomed to it.
You're not the first to say that you're happy there's geographic distance between yourself and Sandro Perry. I'll go on the record right now.
Who else is saying this?
I'm just saying there are people. People talk. People say things. No, I'm obviously teasing Sandro. He's one of my oldest colleagues and friends. So it's just nice to
We are old.
But we rib each other a little bit. But it's all in good fun. Nicole, I'm sorry. I hope I don't come across untoward towards our mutual friend Sandro. I know he can hear us, but I do care for him deeply. I hope that's clear.
Oh, it's very close. Okay. Yes.
Good. Well, I know we've been all over the place, and I hope this was enjoyable on some level. It's just really nice to hear, get some insight as to how you two have found each other and worked together. Sandra, you've alluded to the fact that there may be more work with Nicole if all goes well. I also read a thing that you are, it's in the biographical info, that you might be working on material. Sandro Perry is working on new material that should surface in 2024. Do you know what that's about? What can you tell us about what's coming up next?
They put that in there. Definitely. I mean, since moving out here, I've had a very productive writing period, like the last few years. So yeah, if all goes well and I can get into a studio and get things happening, there's several records to come of song stuff and instrumental music and hopefully Nicole will be on a bunch of that.
Oh, awesome. And do you have a studio out where you are right now, Sandra?
Sort of, yeah. I can work out here. I can't really, bring a band here to record. It's not that type of space. It's more, for, the production work, and I can do overdubs and stuff. So yeah, I can.
Is it an agricultural parcel of land that you're on, as I recall? Is that right?
There is agricultural activity going on here. Yes.
So like, what is it?
Goats?
Yeah. What is it? I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Well, there's cows next door.
Cows, that's what it was. Sorry, I often mistake cows and goats. They both give milk. Sorry, this has become the science podcast with Vish. I didn't mean to do this, but you got cows on your property? Is that what we discussed last time?
No, not on our property. Next door. Right. But they're very close. We can go and see them and talk to them and pet them and So, but there's other agricultural things going on, gardening and stuff growing in the in the ground and wildlife and whatnot. But what's the connection? I'm trying to think. Yeah, it's an inspiring place and so there is new music coming.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about this earlier with Nicole in particular, but I think Sandra, you could quite literally do field recording, couldn't you?
I could, yeah. I was, when Nicole said that, I remembered that I've wanted to do it. I just haven't been able to get my shit together, as they say, and get a good field recorder. Because you can sort of do it with your phone, but it doesn't sound so good. Yeah. But yeah, I would love to. I mean,
capture the cows.
Yeah, maybe in 2020, maybe the next record will have some.
It says right here that Sandra Perry is working on new material that should surface in 2024. Mm-hmm. That's a little pressure tactic, I think. So
it is.
Get yourself that field recorder if you want to make a new record, I think is where we're landing. Okay, so that's what's coming up for you. Nicole, it sounds like you have potentially projects with Sandro to contend with. What about your own work and touring? Anything coming up?
Yes, you know, got some dates coming up for the album and some composing with some folks out here. I'm starting some new ensembles, sort of adapting some of my solo work for those ensembles, and maybe recording another album too. You know? Yeah.
Maybe with Sandro?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Great.
Nice.
This is where things get awkward, where I try to bring people together, even though they're already... This is less awkward. You've already worked together. You know what? I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to say anything else. It sounds like there's activity forthcoming, and that's all we need to know. It's certainly none of my business. To pry, right?
You'll find out. You'll be one of the first to know. Vish.
Thank you.
You'll be one of the first. You'll be in the first batch of people to know.
Appreciate that. Look for those texts. Thank you so much, Nicole. If people want to learn more about you and this record, can you direct us to where they could find such things on the internet?
Yes. So my website, NicoleRamprasad.com. I think the album's on, I don't think it is on Bandcamp. So just NicoleRamprasad.bandcamp.com. Ansible Editions is releasing it. So you can find it on their website too.
You are right to halt yourself, because by the time this airs or is posted, will Bandcamp still exist? Every time, all I end up talking about on the show is someone says, and you can follow me on Twitter. And I'm like, can we? Like, will you still be on there? Like, do you think? And they're like, right. Yeah. Isn't it weird? We're just beholden to all these platforms that are constantly being acquired. And sorry, this is a whole other episode. I don't mean to get into it, but I just mean your impulse was maybe correct. I think it's on Bandcamp. Depending on when you're listening to this, it might still be on Bandcamp. Anyway, I hope people pick up the record, and I'll link to all those things. Your website's cool, by the way. You have a good website.
Oh, thanks, Vish. Yeah.
I like good websites, and people take them for granted. They're like, no, I just use Instagram. I'm like, no. It's all going to fall apart. They're going to take all your shit, and because they own it all, make a website. I mean, we're going to go back to square one with everything. Sorry, I'm ranting. Yeah. I didn't mean it. Sandra, if people want to learn more about you and your work and your social media presence and all these sorts of things, what do you want to tell us?
Same thing. You can go to http://. Is that it?
HTTP.
If you're gonna do, you always do this bit, and you got to figure out that what's it called, prefix. You're always like, what is it? HT? And I'm just kidding. Yeah. I
tried this last time.
You did.
Didn't I?
Yeah, it was more successful last time. Now you're like, I don't even. Is there an X in there? What is there? Are you?
Okay. Yeah. Can you edit it, take it from last time and drop it in?
Oh, this entire episode has these meta edit points that everyone's going to hear. Stop. Can you take this out? I'm like, are we taking this out? What is happening? Do you have a website or somewhere you want to send people?
I do. I do, yeah. You can go to www.sandroperry.com. No slashes are necessary. It's all there. It's actually a new website, I should mention. Oh. I didn't promote it, but it's a new website. It's very compact. Got it down to 3 pages.
Oh.
And all the information is there. And I should mention, we are playing some shows. I don't know if Vish, if this will be out, if it'll be too late, but we are playing Offworld, Nicole solo, and 3 different openers in Toronto, Wolf Island, and Montreal, November 11th, 12th, and 13th. Maybe it'll be too late. We'll see.
No, if not, no, I don't think so. Hang on a second.
No.
Amazing. If all goes well in the world, this episode will be out on November 7th. So amazing. Just ahead of those amazing things. However, Sandro, great, when I go to sandroperry.com and I look at shows, there's nothing. There's no mention of shows. It just says past shows and then an arrow and then, oh no, there they are. I see them now. I see them now. Okay. I clicked it.
Those are the past shows.
I see the past shows. Yeah.
Okay. I'll fix that. Okay. I'll fix that. I'll fix that. Edit this part out.
No, this is all staying in.
You were me where I'm saying I'll fix it.
I think
it.
I'm going to leave everything in. This is going to be the lightest edited show that I've ever posted because it's been so much fun.
Fair enough.
I hope for me and for everyone listening. Okay. So
it has been.
Have we plugged everything we need to plug? Nicole, I feel like you got short shrift there. Is there anything else you want to tell people about? Bandcamp or your website?
Bandcamp website. I'm on Instagram.
For now.
You can follow me on
For
that
now
too.
You're on.
For now. Yeah.
And okay. So I think we got to pretty much everything there. This is an interesting situation. I can't recall the last time I've had two guests on with their own respective albums. Nicole, I don't know if you're that familiar with the show. I think Sandra is a little too familiar with it, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know. That sounded untoward. My point is,
impossible.
At this point in the show, I ask people to choose a song for us to go out on, and hence the conundrum. Do we go out on an off-world song, or do we go out on a song from Nicole's record? Now, I will say that in the introduction, that people have, they've gotten a little taste of something. I don't know what yet. I haven't figured it out. So one, you'll each be represented. Your albums will be represented with a little bit of music, but right now, a whole song. Now, if I go to Sandro, he's going to say we should go to something from Nicole's record. If I go to Nicole, she's going to say, oh, we should probably play something from the off-world record. The conundrum is just the worst I've ever experienced. Like, this is the worst experience I've ever had in my life. But I am going to defer. I'm going to go to Nicole because I think she can take the pressure more than Sandro can. To make the choice, and then Sandra will probably just agree. I think that's what's probably going to happen. But if he disagrees, we'll
I can do that. I can do that.
Very agreeable. Nicole, can you choose a piece that reflects this conversation in some way? No, that's too much. Never mind. Scratch that. You know, Sandra, can you edit out what I just said? I don't like that. I don't want this in the episode.
I can also do that.
Nicole, can you choose a song for us to go out on that reflects one of these two records?
Yeah. Let's do A Tourist in My Youth.
A Tourist in My Youth. Wow, that's a curveball. I did not expect you to pick a song from your own album, but that's amazing. That is bold.
I love it.
That doesn't happen all the time. This is the final, it's a rather short piece in some ways, but it's the final song off Nicole's record. Sandra, are you okay with that choice? And if so, well, what do you want to tell us about it since you had a hand as the, I'm sorry, the dub bub? Yeah.
I love that Nicole chose that. It's not the final song on the record, though. Isn't it the first song on the record?
It's the first song on the record.
Yeah, it's the first song.
Oh, you know what happens is I get sent records in advance, and you know what it did?
And they're backwards.
It sometimes this happens. It put it in my library alphabetically. No, wait, that doesn't make sense either. Because then A Tourist in My Youth would then be the first song, probably before and then. So I'm not sure, but it isn't some, it's and then concurrent panoramas, deprogram, reprogram, erasure. It's sort of alphabetical. Oh, it's the, guys, this is too stupid. This is getting taken out. I'm sorry. So this is the final song? No, it's the first song on the album, in my library, as I downloaded it, it's the final song, but it's actually the first song?
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. Glad we figure that out. What do you want to say about that song exactly, Sandra? Did you say something already?
I don't think there's anything I can say that it doesn't say for itself, I think. It's a,
okay.
It speaks for itself, I think. It's a great piece.
Nicole, what about you? Do you want to say something about why that came to mind?
I think this conversation's been really great and sort of a great sort of, I don't know, it just felt like a launch. You know, like first time chatting with you, Vish, and Sandro, you and I chatting for the first time in forever. So I just thought the opener of the record, it's a nice sort of.
I mean, depending on your perspective, it might be the closer of the record, though. Let's just be fair.
Oh, well, yeah, right. Yes.
I'm just saying, maybe it works as either one. So I feel bad that means I've been listening to your record out of order. This has been happening more and more, and I feel badly. But in any case,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it kind of recontextualized. Cool. It's like a remix for me. Okay, here we go. This is A Tourist in My Youth. Here it is. Sandro, Nicole, First of all, I deeply apologize for my behavior throughout most of this interview. I feel badly. And second of all, you're lovely, great interview subjects. Thank you for being on my show. And I wish you the best of luck in the future. And I hope we talk soon.
Thank you, Vish. Love talking with you. Love seeing you. Love seeing you, Nicole, and chatting. And I can't wait, Vish, to read your quatrain about this episode.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Well, I certainly hope you enjoyed the conversation that Sandro and Nicole and I had as much as we did. We really enjoyed ourselves, and I hope you did too and are intrigued to check out their music. I want to thank them both for appearing on this, the 817th episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available wherever you get your podcast, pretty much. If you can't find an episode that you've heard about or you're looking for it, or if you want to learn more about me, sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit vishkana.com. You can also like Creative Control on Facebook or follow the show on other social media, on Twitter at vishcreative, also on Twitter and on Instagram at vishkana, also on Blue Sky and lots of other things too. Just head over to the, there's a link in the show notes there where you can follow me on things and find out about me. So there you go. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this podcast going. I am toying with the idea of a pledge drive, and I keep talking about it here at the end of episodes so that I remind myself to do it, but I think I want to set a target, give everyone like a week, and then I got to make a decision after that. Because I love doing this show more than anything. I have a compulsion to do it. But I also I like to spend my evenings and weekends with my family, and it's getting harder these days as I attend to day jobs and whatnot. I'd like to do this. But anyway, is it a pipe dream? I don't know. Other people seem to be making it work with their podcast, putting stuff out and getting some sort of compensation via their Patreon. So why not? Why not Vish? Why not Vish putting in a serious bid? So I might try. I say this. I'm thinking about it. Anyway, if you can support the show on Patreon, please do. $6 American or more a month grants you access to exclusive content, and you get episodes earlier than everybody else. And I also have Creative Control t-shirts that I can send you for your support. So please, please go to patreon.com/creativecontrol and support this show if you are able. Thank you so much. Thanks again to the wonderful Alberta record retailer, Blackbird Music. You can learn more about them and order records right from their website there at blackbird.ca. Also want to thank Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario, for their in-kind support for this show. Thanks, as always, to my friend Jim Guthrie. He loans me some music he has made, and I use it on the show. You can learn more about Jim at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you so much for listening to this entire episode featuring Nicole and Sandro talking about their respective works and their collaborations. I hope you felt intrigued enough to check out their music if you're unfamiliar, and I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast or follow it and tell your friends about it. I gotta go and eat some food. I'll talk to you very soon. Bye for now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.